Hechel Menachem presents A Tale of Two Souls, an ongoing lecture series on the Tanya by Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak Jacobson. This is recording number 130 in the series entitled The Doctrine of Tzimtzum Part 3, The Great Debate Among the Mystics. This class was recorded live at Hechel Menachem, Brooklyn, New York, during the spring of 5761.
Class, like all of our prayers these days, is dedicated to the merit of our brothers and sisters in Eretz Yisrael in the Holy Land. A woman once came to visit the Holy Tzaddik Reb Avraham Yehoshua Heschel of Apta, known as the Apta Rav, the Oyev Yisrael. She needed his advice and blessing on a certain issue. The moment she entered into his room, the Oyev Yisrael, the Apta Rav, began thundering, "Promiscuous woman, out of here. Don't you think I recognize on your face that a little while ago you have transgressed one of the worst sins in the Torah? You are morally deprived, you are repulsive, how dare you enter into my room, out of my home." So the woman responded and she said, "Rebbe, Hashem, the creator of the world, the Bashefer, sees all of the sins and all of the transgressions that all people do. And nevertheless, Hashem does not reveal them to anybody, so that the people who have sinned should be able to return and repent according to their own pace." And the Rebbe of Apt is sitting on his chair, and he cannot control himself from revealing that which the Creator decided to conceal. So the Apt Rebbe, who is known with his keenness and candidness, said that all my life, nobody has ever triumphed over me except for this woman. And in a sense, this is one of the central points that the Alter Rebbe discusses in the 48th chapter of Tanya, Hashem's power to conceal, or Hashem's power to be mitzamtzim in the terminology of the Alter Rebbe. And in this case as well, it's his power to conceal in order to allow all of the creatures to exist and live according to their own pace. It's Hashem's power to conceal himself and his limitless presence to allow for the world to assume an independent, limited and defined identity, at least in the initial stages of their development and conscious process. Now, I want to share with you as an introduction to today's class an interesting medrash. The Medrash Rabbah in Parshas Bereishis and Parshas Ches tells the following episode. Amar Reb Simon said, when Hashem decided to create Adam HaRishon, the first human being, all of the malachim, all of the angels, grouped up into kitim, chaburis, into many groups. Some of the groups said, al yibare, by no means should man be created, and some of the groups said, yibare, should be created. And the Medrash says, this is the meaning of the pasuk in Tehillim, Pehei, Tehillim chapter 85, chesed ve'emes nivgashu, kindness and truth met, encountered each other, and there was a clash. Chesed amar yibare. The attribute of kindness, of generosity, said, man should be created, shehu gaimel chasadim, because the human being will be generous, will be benevolent, will exhibit kindness. Emes amar, emes said, al yibare, shekuloi shkarim. By no means should you create man, because he is one big lie entirely. This medrash was perhaps the motto of the Kotzke Rebbe. Kol Adam Kaisev, yeah, that's true. Kulei Shkarim. Man is egotistical, egocentric, selfish. Everything is driven by ulterior motives. Everything has other objectives than what he says. And so on and so forth. Ma asa HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what did Hashem do? Natal emes v'shlichei la'aretz. He took emes and he threw it down to the ground. And he created man. And this is the Pasuk said, the Medrash says, this is what the Pasuk means in Daniel chapter 8. V'tashlich emes artza. You threw emes to the ground. You buried emes into the earth. As Dr. the Kotzke Rebbe used to say, that truth is deeply, deeply buried. It's nowhere to be found. However, the Medrash says that the Malachim turned to Hashem and they said, this is how you're going to treat truth. So the Medrash says, ultimately truth will emerge. Hadehu diksiv, the next pasuk in Tehillim Pehei. Chesed v'emes nivgashu, tzedek v'shalom nashaku. And what does it say after that? Emes meyeret titzmach. In the original clash, Hashem threw emes into the earth. He buried it. But ultimately, emes merits titzmach, truth, will sprout forth from the earth. So Chassidus asks the question, whose chesed and emes are you talking about? Men were not created yet. You're talking about the divine attribute of truth and the divine attribute of kindness. So the divine attribute of kindness is not truthful. Does it tolerate falsehood? Does it tolerate lies? So the Tzemach Tzedek, the grandson of the Alter Rebbe, in his monumental work of Chabad Chassidus Derech Mitzvah Secha, an explanation of many mitzvahs according to Chassidus, explains this medrash based on the theme of Tanya chapter 48, of the chapter we're presently learning. He explains this in the mitzvah of Achdus Hashem, in the mitzvah of Hashem's unity, in his book of Derech Mitzvah Secha. What did Alter Rebbe explain? We learned before Shavuos, the 2 weeks before Shavuos, that the light and the energy that diffuse, that extend, so to speak, from Hashem, are Ein Sof, are limitless, boundless, and endless. And therefore, if the properties of this energy, so to speak, you can't really call something that's infinite, you can't attribute to it properties, which by definition denote finiteness, but so to speak, if the properties of this energy were to express themselves in the worlds that this energy created, the product, the created existence, would reflect the properties of its creative force, and thus the world would also be infinite and limitless. Or in other words, the world would experience itself as part of Hashem's infinite energy. Or to put it in other words, as we discussed, the cardinal law of existence is that if you place an object of 100 cubic feet inside a space of 100 cubic feet, no other object can share that space. In the space where this mic is standing, you can't place any other object. It's a small space, it's a little finite space, thank God, so we can place other things near it or far from it. But if you have an object, hypothetically, of infinite size, so obviously no other object can occupy any space at any time, because if any other object can occupy a space, that's not infinite. Infinite means it's infinite. So nothing can occupy any space. So if Hashem's light, if His oir, if His energy is infinite, it also fills the entire expanse of existence as we know it. So how can anything assume existence at any moment? Unless it's part of the limitless light and energy. It's an expression of the infinite light. It's part of it. But that's not the world that we know. That's not the world that we inhabit. So the Alter Rebbe says Hashem suppressed His infinity so that we can emerge. Hashem needed to, so to speak, curtail, conceal His light, suppress His infinite expression, and what emerges is a more limited energy that can manifest itself, creating, vivifying, animating various worlds, granting them a defined identity, animating them with an energy that suits their individual features, allowing them to experience themselves as self-defined, limited creatures. Each world, each creature, each being according to its capacity, its nature, and its defining characteristics. What occurred to the original light, to the essential light? So the Alter Rebbe says this is the light that's called in Kabbalah, the term is first coined in the Zohar, Soiviv Kolam. It's originally in the Zohar, but it fills the literature of all Kabbalah and Chassidus. What does Soiviv Kolam means? It encompasses the world. It encircles the world. Zog the Alter Rebbe. When Kabbalah uses the word Soiviv Kolam in Ein HaPirush, as he put it, don't assume that the meaning of these words is that Hashem encircles and encompasses spatially all of the worlds from above. No. What it means is that this infinite light is present and pervasive within all of the worlds and within every detail of all of the worlds. And within every nook and nuance and crevice of each of the worlds and everything contained within them. However, since this light does not reveal itself within them, is not expressed within their own consciousness and identity, because if this light would be revealed within their consciousness, they would cease to be who they are, limited creatures, not part of Hashem's infinite energy. Therefore, Kabbalah calls this light Soiviv Kolam, as though it was encircling the world, although it's really filling the world. Because from the perspective, from the consciousness, from the feeling, from the experience of the recipients of this light, it's as though this light is not present. So although the light is truly present within them, filling them and affecting them and impacting them, as we shall see, since from their point of view, they don't even sense it, they don't experience it in any way, therefore we call this light encircling them as though it was outside of them, not within them. Even though it is within them, but we say it's outside of them, it's around them, because they don't feel it. I doubt that anybody is going to lose sleep tonight over this statement. But when the Alter Rebbe wrote it originally, A lot of people lost a lot of sleep over it. Here it passed by very peacefully. I mentioned this in a sentence last time, that already in the first generation following the Arizal, the one who revealed the doctrine of the Tzimtzum, the doctrine of Hashem creating, so to speak, a space in which His infinity is not present, Hashem removing or His infinity, and just allowing a finite light to emerge and to create and sustain the worlds. Immediately in the first generation after the Arizal revealed his doctrine and the Arizal passed away, we spoke about this in the year Shin Lamed Beis, which is 1572, at the age of 36 or 38, it's unclear. A major debate broke out among the Kabbalists if this tzimtzum, this removal, is to be taken and to be understood literally, or is it to be understood figuratively? And we have to be careful with the word figuratively, because, or is it, to put it in a sharper fashion, is it to be understood, is the tzimtzum a reality, or is the tzimtzum fiction? Well, one has to be careful with that. You're saying the flip side is this world real? Is this world is fiction? You're saying if the Tzimtzum is fiction, then this world is fiction.
Yeah.
Okay. That's an error that some people who learn Chassidus come to, but it's untrue.
Right.
We have to understand what we mean when the Tzimtzum, when we say the Tzimtzum is fiction. Now, in the it's difficult to exhaust this subject within the finite parameters of this class, unless we grant this class the properties of infinity. But that would mean undoing the Tzimtzum. I just want to mention it very briefly. The Alter Rebbe discusses this topic more at length in the second section of Tanya, in chapter 7 of Shara Yichud Ve'amunna, which we will reach, God willing, one day. But not quite yet. First I have to finish the first section. One of the great Mekubalim was Rabbi Amnuel Chai Riki. He's known best for his book Mishnas Chassidim. He passed away in the early 1700s. I believe he lived in Italy. You know which year he passed away?
No, but I guess my brother.
I think in the 1730s. Tuf Tzaddiks. And he wrote a book called Yosher Levav. And in that book, in Bayis Aleph, Cheder Aleph, he explains that Hashem removed His presence literally from the space where He would create to create the world. Or in his language, how can you say that the King of Kings is present in the dunghill of this world? It's humiliating, it's abominable to assume that the King of Kings, Hashem, is present within the filth, within the garbage dump that characterizes this world. He says the king is in the palace supervising the dunghill. But he removed himself. Hashem removed himself. Of course. Hashem, as the Arizal revealed his doctrine, the Arizal says that when Hashem desired to create the world, the light of the Endless One filled the entire space. There was no room for the worlds. That's the terminology of the Arizal. I mentioned to you, it's in the beginning of his book, Eitz Chaim, Eitzris Chaim, Avoyisharim. In each place it's with different words. So what did Hashem do? He says, in his words, I'll use my words, but this is basically what he's saying. Hashem drilled a hole in his infinite light. He created a chalol omakim ponu, a vacant space in the infinite light, and the infinite light was removed. And then he took one little ray, one little thread, one glimmer of the light, he brought it back into the empty space, and that generated all of the worlds. So the Yoshe Levav understands the Tzimtzum to mean Kipshutai, literally. He removed himself. The line, I told you. Yes, that Kav, it's called the Kav. The two Mekubalim, Rabbi Yaakov Emden and Rabbi Yonis and Eibshitz, both lived in the 1700s. The first one, Rabbi Yaakov Emden in his Sefer Mitpacha Svarim, and Rabbi Yonis and Eibshitz in his Sefer Shei Moilam, also understood the Tzimtzum literally. What Arizal means, Hashem removed himself. And he's not present within the space of the worlds. Infinity is not presence within the space of the finite. The most famous of Jewish sages and Kabbalists who believe that the Tzimtzum is to be taken literally is the Gaon of Vilna. In his comment, he has a commentary on Sifra D'Tzniusa, which is a section of the Zohar. A section of the Zohar is called Sifra D'Tzniusa. And he has a commentary that was published on it. And in the back of that commentary, there are Likutim. There are compiled writings of his on those subjects. And there, he understands the Tzimtzum again with literal terms. These Kabbalists explain the statement of the Zohar, for example, Les Asar Ponim Minei, there's no space devoid of him, or which the Alter Rebbe brought in Tanya, or a Pasuk in Yirmiyah that he brought, Es HaShemayim Es HaAretz Ani Malei, I fill heaven and earth. They understood it that there's no space devoid of his supervision. Not of him, of his supervision. He observes it, he sees it, he knows it. Minei. Ani Malei. When it says, I fill it, or there's no space devoid of him, the Kav is a light, and it's a light that comes back in. It's, first of all, it's only the light, and in the light itself, it's a ray of it.
It's like what the King Solomon said that in Proverbs, that God's eyes see both the bad and the good.
Yeah, yes.
Would this all affect the way these people understand Olam Atzilus?
It affects everything. One sec.
What about
that for sure affects. One second. Yeah. Now, during the time of the great ideological, the great debate between the Chassidim and the Misnagdim, this was one of the major issues that was brought up again and again. The Misnagdim, the opponents of Chassidus during the time of the Vilna Gaon, would always say that to assume that the Tzimtzum is not literal contradicts halacha. All the halachas about the difference between a bathroom and a clean place, about certain places which are defiled, which are impure, which are contaminated, all testify to the truth that Hashem's presence is not manifest, is not there, is not to be found there. However, many or most of the other Kabbalists disagreed. Most famous is the Shemer Emunim, was authored by Rabbi Yosef Irgas. Rabbi Yosef Irgas lived in Italy. He passed away also, and he passed away in 1730. The Yosha Levav argues with him. He says it's not to be taken literally. And he brings 10 proofs that the Tzimtzum is not Kipshutai. This is known as the debate if Tzimtzum is Kipshutai or Shaloi Kipshutai. And then you have, for example, the Yoinas Ilim of Rebbe Nachem Azaria of Fanu. I mean, he's from much earlier. He passed away in Shinpei, also from Italy, Fanu. He passed away in 1625. The generation after the Arizal. And then there is a very famous Mekubal and philosopher. He's known as the Yosher Mikanadia, Rabbi Yosef Shloime Roife. Rabbi Yosef Shloime, he was a great doctor and philosopher and Mekubal. He lived in Kanadia in the Crete Islands. He has a sefer. He has Egypt, moved to Egypt. He has a book called Noiv L'Schachma on Kabbalah. And he says it wasn't literally. And the Shef Atal is another great Mekubal, Rav Shapsi, Sheptel Alevi Horowitz, who was the Rav of Prague. He passed away in the year Tav Chav, which is 1660. The Ramchal, Rav Moshe Chaim Lutzato, and Klach Pischei Chachma, his famous Klach Pischei Chachma, he passed away in Tav Chav Zayin, 2 years after the Alter Rebbe was born, 1747, also from Italy. He says it's not Kipshuta. The Rav Nachman Breslover and Lekutei Maharan has a whole piece on it. Simon Samach Dalet Parshas Boy. Rav Chaim Vital is the one who wrote it. He doesn't.
He said it was Arizal wrote it.
Arizal didn't write it. Arizal taught it. Rav Chaim Vital wrote it. Yeah. The Eimek HaMelech is another Mekubal Rav Naftali here. It's Shar HaShamayim. The most surprising one who says that the Tzimtzum is not to be taken literally is Rav Chaim Volozhiner. Rav Chaim Volozhiner was the greatest student of the Vilna Gaon, and his Nefesh HaChaim, he argues with his Rebbe, although he doesn't put it in those terms, and he says the Tzimtzum is not to be taken literally. The reason I mention this is, it's interesting because there's a letter of the Alter Rebbe that he wrote to his Hasidim who lived in Vilna. He wrote it in the year the Tanya was published, in Tavkuf Nun Zayin. Tavkuf Nun Zayin was 2 years before he was arrested, 1797. And the letter is printed already. What happened was, there was a tragic story, it's not the time to get into it, but a year before that, during the burning of the Chametz in Vilna, the book of the Baal Shem Tov was burnt. Savas HaRivash. And one of the reasons for it is because in Savas HaRivash, the Baal Shem Tov taught that the Tzimtzum is not to be taken literally. That Hashem is present in every single location and space of the world. And the opponents of Chassidus held that this is heresy and apathy. So the Alter Rebbe writes a letter about this to his Chassidim in Vilna. And he says, based on what I hear, this is the Vilna Gaon's primary criticism on the book Likutei Amorim on Tanya. Because in Likutei Amorim I interpreted Memalei Kol Almin and Les Asar Ponim, and Hashem fills the world and there's no space devoid of Him. Kipshutei Mamish, literally. And in the eyes of His honor, this is Apikursus Gemura. It's complete heresy to say that Hashem is Mamish to be found in the lowly objects and things of this world. And the Alter Rebbe says, they interpret Meloi Chol Aretz Kvoidei as His supervision. And he addresses the issues and the subject, and then he says, concerning the fire, you don't have to worry about the Baal Shem Tov. And it's nothing new that occurred, it happened in history. Zichru Yemois Eilam Milonu Gadol Memoshe Bedeira. Who is greater than Moshe the Rambam? That in Spain, in his own country, he was so great that during his lifetime they used to say in Kaddish, B'chayeichoinu v'yemeichoinu v'chaye marona v'rabona moisho v'chaye d'chol beis Yisrael b'agolu is mankari v'imruwame. In your life and in your days and in the life of our Rebbe Moshe and in the life of all of the Jewish people. Because they knew who the Rambam was. But in the remote countries where they didn't know who the Rambam was, they assumed that he was a min, a heretic, and an apikiris, and a kaifer, and they burnt his books, including the first book of the Yad HaChazaka of the Mishnah Torah, in public, based on the instructions of great sages that existed then, And they could not assume that they just misunderstand the Rambam because they don't comprehend what he's saying. They lack the knowledge or the skills to understand what the Rambam is saying. And the Rambam, the Alter Rebbe says, but as time passed and as history continued, truth emerged. V'yadu kol Yisrael k'moish emes v'teras emes. All Jews became aware of the fact that Moshe is true and his Torah is true, and he finishes the letter. This is what will also happen to us. Now the fact is, today when you say Hashem is here, Hashem is everywhere, nobody blinks an eye. Nobody from any across the board, people who claim that they are loyal adherents to the Misnagdash approach, wouldn't blink an eye today. Perhaps, yeah, Chaim Volozhin himself. So, it's important when one reads this chapter in Tanya, by knowing a little bit of the historical background, the historical and ideological background, to appreciate what Alter Rebbe is saying here. When he says that Soiviv Kol Almin, throughout the board in Kabbalah, should not be taken literally, that he encircles the space of the world, but he actually fills the same space. So when the Arizal says he removed his light, it doesn't mean he removed it. It means he concealed it from the conscious experience of the recipients. It was revolutionary in the eyes of many Jews.
There wasn't yet a recipient to hold it back from.
Okay, fine. That's true.
You're saying that this one played yourself, I'm sure there was before.
Yeah. I'll tell you, we're talking about it. I don't want to. There was the Mashgiach, the spiritual mentor of the Kollel in Gateshead. His name was Rav Eliyahu Dessler. Rav Eliyahu Eliezer Dessler. He authored a book called Michtav Me Eliyahu. So when he lived in London, and one of the great Chabad Chassidim visited London, his name was Rav Itche Masmit. Rav Yitzchak Horowitz was one of the greatest Chabad Chassidim of his day. He was killed, he was burnt alive through the Germans in Riga in 1942. And he visited London and he stayed in Rav Dessler's home for a few weeks. Rav Dessler writes in a letter that those were the Yomim Achimu Sharam Bechaye. Those were the happiest days in my life. That I spent time with him, and he introduced him in a very profound way to the world of Chassidus Chabad. So Rav Dessler occupied himself a lot with the subject of Tzimtzum. And after his research, he came to the conclusion that there's no argument. There's no argument. Everybody holds the same. So there was a chassid in London, his name was Rabbi Yachmiel Ben Yominson, and he knew Rav Dessler as well. So he wrote a letter to the Rebbe, to the Lubavitch Rebbe, who was then a son-in-law of the previous Rebbe in the 30s. He lived in Paris, the Rebbe, asking him if this is true. So the Rebbe said that he can't even imagine how one can say there was no argument. In the first generation after the Arizal, a major debate broke out, and he discusses there the argument and the various perspectives on it at length. But the bottom line is that, back to our subject, what the Alter Rebbe tells us in this chapter is something more than the fact that the Tzimtzum is not to be taken literally. That other people also said. But as you mentioned, and you mentioned in previous weeks, the term the Alter Rebbe is using in this chapter is the light of Hashem. And he says, this light is not encircling the world, literally. We say that it's encircling the world, really it's present within the world. And as Alter Rebbe explains in other places in Torah Er Vayera, when you talk about Hashem's essence, there was no tzimtzum at all, the Alter Rebbe believed. There was no tzimtzum at all. There was not, the process of concealment also did not take place. What he's telling us in this chapter is that even in the light of Hashem, which means even in his expression, in which there was a tzimtzum, the tzimtzum is not to be understood in literal terms. Because there are those Kabbalists who believe that Tzimtzum is not literally, but it affects Hashem's essence. Hashem removed his essence. In the essence, the Alter Rebbe believed there was no Tzimtzum whatsoever. Nothing happened.
Even
Shaloi Kibshutei. Nothing happened in the essence. The Alter Rebbe's terminology in Torah, Hamor hu b'hizgalus. The source, the Mor, the luminary, the source of the light is revealed within the world. Now we have to understand what that means. To put it in a sentence, the essence cannot be defined in terms of light, and the terms revealed and concealed don't even apply to the essence. The essence doesn't exist in a realm to which you can apply the terms revealed or concealed. The Alter Rebbe says, Hamoyer hu b'hizgalus, and therefore shame shamayim shagur b'fi koil. The Alter Rebbe puts it, when a child says, Eibishter, he's talking to the essence who's right in front of him and in him. Now, the Arizal talks about Tzimtzum, it's only the light, the expression of God, of Hashem. And even there, it's not literally. It's present and it fills the space of the world. Hashem's expression, Hashem's luminescence, Hashem's presence, His revelation, His projection. It fills the world, it's just concealed. So in other words, in the black hole of Kabbalah, in which Hashem created the world, is not vacant from the light. But as the Alter Rebbe saw it, it's like a black hole which has within it all of the light. As Hashemayim v'saretz ani malei, and the Tzimtzum did not change that. Now, the implications of this perspective on Tzimtzum formed one of the cornerstones in the revolutionary and profound and paradoxical approach of the philosophy of Chassidus Chabad. So Machzadeh calls it Amitas Inyan Hachsidus, the implications in the mitzvah of Achdus Hashem. Amitas Inyan Hachsidus. This brings out the truth of the essence, the nucleus of Chassidus. But let's learn inside a little bit, see what the Alter Rebbe is saying. Let's say that. Okay, we're on Daf Samachesam et Aleph, page 135. Eight lines from the bottom. Ulekarev alaseichel. Zog the Alter Rebbe. Ulekarev alaseichel yoiser. To make this more comprehensible, what's this? We're dealing with a paradox. On one hand, the infinite light and expression of Hashem is not felt within the world, as we have established. And that's why it's called Seiviv, as though it encircles the world. On the other hand, Alter Rebbe is saying it's present, and it's present within every detail and every crevice and every particle of existence. So when one talks about the finite light permeating existence, we're not dealing with a paradox. The finite light tailors itself, it's custom made in accordance with the needs, the characteristics, the features of every creature and of every existence. And thus, the differences between people, the differences between creatures, the differences, the myriads and myriads of existences which within each world, and the differences between worlds and universes and realities, more spiritual and more spiritual and more sublime, and conversely, less spiritual and less sublime until our physical materialistic world. This light is finite, it's limited, it tolerates coexistence. And it animates finite creatures. But when you talk about the infinite light, the very fact that it permeates every single creature in an identical fashion would demonstrate that it's disconnected from their individualistic patterns. The finite light doesn't permeate every creature in an identical fashion. It's in a piece of it's present in a piece of grass in one way, and in a human brain in another way, and in an animal consciousness in a third way, and in planet Mars in a fourth way, and in Gan Eden Elyon in a fifth way. I don't know if you have to say Lahavdol. For sure not. He's saying in relation to Seiviv, there's no lahavdol.
Right.
B- Why? Because by definition, it's tailor-made in accordance with the identity of every creature. To say that Soiviv Kalalman exists within the details and within the particles of every creature doesn't seem comprehensible. So the Alter Rebbe says, L'karev al-aseichel, to bring it closer to our mind, u'baderech moshel. It's through a metaphor. And here again we see what he means. People, when they learn, well, sometimes when you learn this chapter, you can easily misunderstand what he's saying. He said before, and I mentioned this last time, Soiviv Kalalman doesn't mean it encircles the world spatially. Why? Because in spirituality, in spiritual realities, you cannot discuss the existence of space. The limitations of space cannot be applied to spiritual realities. But that's true about logic. Is it ever saying Kabbalah and Chassidus that the truth that 10 plus 10 equals 20 is Soiviv Kalalman and is present within all the worlds as a Shemayim Vesaretz Animale? 2 and 2 plus 4 also doesn't exist in terms of space. Physical realities exist within physical locations. This paper exists here and I exist there. Where does the rule that 2 and 2, 4 exists? He said last time in Wall Street. But besides that, where does it exist?
Throughout the physical universe.
It's not defined in terms of space. It's a spiritual reality. Spiritual realities are not defined in terms of space. But it doesn't mean that they permeate space. They exist in the realm of intellect. You're not going to say that the pebble in your backyard is permeated and filled with a logical truth. The logic that fills the Gemara, Hamoitzi Mechaveri Olavaraya, that the burden of proof is always on the plaintiff, is a logical concept. The burden of proof is on the plaintiff. You want to take out money, Hamoitzi Mechaveri Olavaraya. That logic, where does it exist? It can exist in your brain, but even before we were born, it existed. Doesn't exist within every pebble. Doesn't exist within every grass, piece of grass, within every rosebud. It exists in the realm of intellectualism. So to say that Soiviv Kalalman exists in the realm of infinity, and infinity is not defined in terms of space, that's fine. That's not what Alter Rebbe is saying. Alter Rebbe is saying it exists within the identity of the finite. He says to make this more accessible, Ubaderech Moshel, let's give a metaphor. And the example that the Rebbe employs there is quite an interesting one. Zog the Alter Rebbe. Listen to the example. K'moy ha'adam shemitzayir b'daitei eizadavar sheroi sheroi. When a person forms in his mind an image of something that he has seen in the past, or he sees right now, and he forms in his mind an image of it. Hine, now, af shekol guf etzem hadavrahu, though the entire body and essence of that thing, which he depicts in his mind, v'gaboi v'toichai v'toichtoichai, both its exterior and interior and its very core, kuloi mitzuyer b'daitei machshavtoi, all of these elements are completely mirrored and depicted in his mind and thought. Mipnei shera'ahu kulai, for he has seen it all. Oy shera'ehu, or he actually sees it now in its entirety. So all of it, it's gaboy, the back, and toich, the exterior, and toich, the interior, the very core, the very inside. It's all, if he has seen it all, when he depicts it in his mind, it's all there in his mind, all the details. Every nuance, every streak, every feature is there in his mind. Hine, nikras daitoi makefes adavra hu kuloi. So this is expressed by saying that his mind encompasses that object completely. You can say his mind encompasses the object. And furthermore, he adds, v'hadavar ahu, and that thing that he's imagining, mukav b'dayto machshavtei, is enveloped by his mind and thought. So the Alter Rebbe is basically giving us the metaphor of what we might call a daydream. Or a daydream includes what he's saying, the phenomenon he's discussing, where one depicts a certain image in one's mind. And you all know that daydreams and imaginations are very interesting, sometimes very creative, stimulating, and they sometimes even are very real. And in your daydream or in your imagination, you can depict, for example, a conversation you had with another person or a conversation you're going to have with that person. And in your mind, you see that other person. And you don't only see his general features. You see every streak on his nose. And you see his entire body from head to toe. And you can see the color of his shoelace. If you have seen a painting or a picture and then you depict it in your mind you depict and you imagine every, if it's possible, if you remember, every single detail of the entire picture.
Mental image picture?
A mental image. On the other hand, we all know that in the world of the object, nothing occurs. You can dream about it and depict it and imagine it for days and for hours, for days, for weeks. In the world of the object, nothing occurred. It's sometimes even interesting from a psychological perspective. Sometimes your mind is enveloped by one person and you're thinking about him or her for days and sometimes for weeks. And then you see that person. And this is the person that occupied your brain and made you meshuggah for weeks. But that person doesn't even know about it. So he was entirely there from your perspective, but from his perspective, he doesn't know that he was in you or that he is in you. He could never guess it. He was your primary occupation for 3 weeks. But the Alter Rebbe says, here there's one major difference. So we have here a paradox, if you can call it that. From my perspective, from the dreamer's perspective, from the imaginer's perspective, he encompasses not just the thing in its in general terms, every detail, every nuance, every item, from the perspective of the thing or the person, doesn't even know that he was in your mind. But Alter Rebbe says, here the paradox is not so real, because it actually mukav b'poyel mamash. It's not encompassed in actual fact. When I imagine a painting or a picture or a person, that person is not in my mind. It's only in the imagination of the man's thought and mind. Avol HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hashem, however, the Ksiv Bey of whom it is written in Yeshaya in chapter 55, Perek Nun Hey, Kiloi Machshavayse Machshavaseichem Vegeimer, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. So my thought process is not your, the human's thought process. Harei Machshavtoi V'daitoi, his thought and his mind. Sheyedeya Kol HaNivroyim, which knows all created beings. Makefes Kol Nivra V'Nivra, encompasses each and every created thing. From its head, from its highest level. To its end, to its lowest level. And its inside. And its inside of inside, its very core. All in actual reality, unlike the thought of a mortal man. His thought, Hashem's thought, encompasses and envelops everything in actuality, not just in his imagination. His energy, the divine infinite energy or the divine thought, is thus connected and related with every single element of every single creature and every single existed being. There is no detail which is not enveloped and in which his energy is not present, and it's an actuality. And Alter Rebbe says, L'mashal, for example, Kadur Ha'aretz Halazu. Let's take our ball, the orb of this earth, this ball. Harei Yidiyos Ha'yizbarach, Hashem's knowledge, Makefes Kol Oivi Kadur Ha'aretz, encompasses the entire thickness. It's an interest, the entire thickness, the entire diameter, if you will, of the globe of the earth, the chol asher b'soichai, together with all that is in it, in the planet of the earth, v'toich toichai, and in its deepest interior, atachtisai, to its lowest depth, hakol b'poyel mamash, all in actual reality. Shaharei 4, he demonstrates this, Shaharei, for yidiyazu, this knowledge of Hashem knowing it, he chayus kol oivi kader aretz kulei. That constitutes the vitality and the energy of the whole spherical thickness of the earth. V'hisavusei me'ayin liyesh. And this is what constitutes its creation from nothing to something, ex nihilo. And here what the Alter Rebbe is adding another point. And again, one can perhaps give an example of our own daydreams. We know that particularly when we're very bored, if you're sitting at a class or a lecture or a meeting of your employer or your employees or your partners, and it's extremely boring, one of the creative human endeavors is we begin daydreaming. And in our daydream, we can create entire realities that have never existed and perhaps will never exist. You can daydream that you are right now sitting on a plane taking you to Tokyo. Or you're at a game in the stadium. Whatever you wish, you can daydream. You can daydream if you wish that you're lecturing in front of 10,000 people. And in your daydream, you create a hall and you create an audience and you see the faces and you see the pulpit and you see the mic and you're speaking and you can even hear the applause. And you can even see that person who can't tolerate you and is jealous of you. And you can already hear the telephone ringing from the compliments the next day. And this is a reality. Your daydream creates a location. It gives it a time. It creates an audience. It creates props as it wishes. And in a way, one can say it's something from nothing. In a way. So the Alter Rebbe is saying now, when we create that reality in our daydream, we didn't really create a tangible reality. It's a daydream. It's a very nice daydream. It may be comforting and consoling, but it's not a reality. The Alter Rebbe says, Hashem's daydream, quote end quotes, that is what creates reality. His thinking about you is what creates you. So the Tanya is saying, unlike the man who claimed, I think, therefore I am, the Tanya says, Hashem thinks, therefore I am. Descartes said it first. Hashem thinks, therefore I am. Or therefore we are. And he thinks about every detail. And Alter Rebbe says that is actually what creates everything from something to nothing. That knowledge. So therefore his knowledge is created, is connected to every detail because it creates it. That is what brings it into being. And this is the loy. This is also part of the loy machshav oisai machshav oiseichem. When we imagine something, we don't actually envelop it with our minds. It's only in our imagination that we envelop it. When we create something in our daydream, we don't actually create it. It's only a creation of our imagination and within the parameters of our imagination. unlike Hashem, who actually envelops it and actually creates it. But Alter Rebbe adds, Rak, however, Shalo yoye mis'ave k'moy sholata bal gvul v'tachlis. From this knowledge per se, Hashem thinking about it, so to speak, with his knowledge or his thought power, what would have come into being would not be the product that we presently observe. It would not have come into being as it is now, which is bal gvul v'tachlis, as a finite and limited thing. V'chayis mu'atis ma'id, containing an exceedingly minute degree of vitality, k'dei p'chinas doimim v'tzemeach, sufficient for the categories of inorganic matter and vegetation. Since he's talking about the very planet Earth, including the soil, which contains within it an energy that allows it to remain inanimate, or at most, to produce vegetation. But that's it. Which even within planet Earth is a minuscule type of energy. So one second. If the knowledge as is would create the world, Hashem's thought, the product that we know would never be the product. Im lo, if not, were it not, ayidei tzimtzumim rabim vatzumim. For the many powerful contractions, which have condensed and curtailed the light and vitality that is manifested in the orb of the earth, so as to animate it and sustain it in its finite and limited status, and furthermore, in the categories of inorganic and vegetable matter alone, not more. What is the Alter Rebbe saying? The world that you create in your daydream is not a physical world. It's not a tangible world. Why is it not a tangible world? Because it's a product of your mind. It's a product of your brain. So what is it? It's brain waves. The stuff that it's made up of is your intellect. So it's a spiritual reality. It's a mental existence. It exists within your mental identity, not within physical time and space. It doesn't assume physical properties. It assumes mental properties. In other words, it exists within your mind. Hashem's energy, or Hashem's thought, Hashem's knowledge is infinite. So the product that it would create, the product that it would generate, would be infinite. Because if the creative force is infinite, like I said in the beginning of the class, Hashem's knowledge, Hashem's thought is infinite. So the world it would produce, it would create the world. The world it would produce from something from nothing could not be finite, could not be limited, because its creative energy is infinite. So how can it allow for something finite to exist if it's infinite and it's producing something? So it's producing something that's part of infinity. If we would, in other words, feel Hashem's thinking about us, we could never feel ourselves. If we would feel His thinking about us, we would experience ourselves as part of His infinity. So if Hashem would just think about us, and that would constitute our entire being, we would exist, but we would exist never in a feeling ourselves as self-conscious beings, or feeling ourselves as finite beings. We would feel ourselves as part and parcel of infinity. No. You wouldn't feel yourself as a self. Yeah. No, one second. You're asking a good question. Perhaps you can say, as Chassidus says sometimes, that we would even, Hashem could create a physical world also. But again, the physicality would experience itself as part of His infinity. Part of His infinity can include also defining and creating a physical world. It would be an expression of Hashem's infinite capacity. And therefore the limited features could not be called limiting. It would be an expression of infinity. That's if the knowledge that creates us, Hashem's thought that creates us, His thinking about us that creates us, would be present. It would be consciously felt in the product that it produces. We would be part of infinity. Therefore, the Alter Rebbe says, in order to create the world Hashem wanted to create, we have to feel that we're outside of Hashem's knowledge. If Hashem's knowledge, Hashem's thought is present within us, present consciously within us, that is infinite. So how can I feel myself as something finite? An object that's infinite doesn't allow anything else. So if the object that's infinite, Hashem's knowledge, Hashem's thought is presently conscious within me, how can I feel myself as something finite? How can the world experience itself as something finite? We have to feel that we're outside of that knowledge. And therefore we're finite. If we would be absorbed in that idea consciously, we would also be believable, we would also be infinite. So the limitedness of all of the worlds, even the higher worlds, comes from the fact that in their consciousness, they're outside of Hashem's knowledge. We don't experience the fact that our entire reality with all its details comes from Hashem's knowledge. What is manifestly present within the orb of the earth is only, the Alter Rebbe said, a very limited light which allows you to feel yourselves. We don't feel what's in us and we don't feel what's our essence. He says, Chayim v'tzemeach, doimim and tzemeach, not because Chayim Adabra doesn't need it. Even Gan Eden Elyon needs the tzimtzum. Because he's giving an example of Kadar Ha'aretz, the physical soil. And the energy that's expressed in the physical soil is doimim and tzemeach. But he could say it about Chayim Adabra. But he wants to say even doimim and tzemeach has such a limited energy. Why? Because the energy of Hashem, the light of Hashem, that brings the world into being, curtails itself and conceals itself so deeply that it's not present at all within the consciousness of the creatures. What's present within within the reality of Earth? A tiny, minuscule energy, which is also unbelievable, that allows it to experience vegetation and so forth. Or in the human being, it's the human soul. Or in the animal, it's the animal soul. He's not giving these examples to exclude it. He's giving these examples to say a chiddush. And even here, Hashem in His infinite knowledge is present. Even in the place of the daimim and the tzemeach, where there's such a tzimtzum, his own light is there. It permeates it. That's where he goes to another extreme, right?
In other words, you're saying the stone has infinite light of Hashem in it.
Yeah.
But isn't that the lowest category of...
Yeah, that's the point. This is what Alter Rebbe is saying. Hashem's infinite light doesn't only exist in its infinite realm, and then He created a finite realm where that's not present, but it exists within the realm and within the identity of every single creature. And that's the metaphor He gives from imagination. When I imagine a human being or a painting or another object, I have it in my mind in all its details. My mind envelops it in its entirety. But in the world of the object, it's totally distinct and independent of my mind. In the metaphor, in the nimshal, Hashem, when He envelops a thing in His mind, it's in actuality. The thing in all of its details is permeated and enveloped and connected to His infinite mind. But in the world of the object, doesn't consciously experience it at all. And we can appreciate this because you can imagine something and you're living with it and you're living with every detail, but in the consciousness of the object, nothing happened. You don't even exist. So the Alter Rebbe says, Hashem's knowledge, Hashem's mind is what creates it, something from nothing. But in our world, that infinite light doesn't exist. It's not present. For all practical purposes, we don't know about it. We certainly don't feel it. If we would feel of it, we could never have the identity that we feel we have. We would cease to be who we are in our own perception. Yes. From our perspective, we call it Soiviv Kalalman. It encircles the world because we don't appreciate it. So the Alter Rebbe is saying the infinite light of Hashem is present within the finite space of the world. It's present there. Which is his thought. You'll soon see, we'll finish another few lines. Which is his thought, that's identified with his thought. But in the world of the finite creatures, for them to experience themselves as finite creatures, and not as an expression of infinity, the infinite light is not present. I was preparing the class, so I thought of an example in halacha to this paradox. Not easy to find in halacha where this is expressed. But I thought of something, perhaps it's true, perhaps it's untrue, but I'll share it with you.